Well, if you'll please keep Exodus 20, specifically verse 7, open, because we are unpacking that third commandment today as we continue with our series of 10 words for life from 10 commandments. Under the title, Honor the Name, this morning we're going to work out as what does it mean to honor the name of the Lord, or not to take the name of the Lord in vain. The first four commandments, as you might know by now, are more focused on love for God or loving God, and the last six commandments are more focused on loving our neighbors, loving other people around us. But even these last six commandments, they also focused on our love for God. I'll tell you why. Because in obeying them, we're demonstrating, or we're proving that we love God. That's the only language God understands of us loving Him, is when we obey Him. We cannot claim to love God and live in disobedience to His laws or to His word. Jesus says it like this in John 14 verse 21, whosoever or whoever has my commandments and obey them, he is the one who loves me. Finish. You love God, you show God that you love Him by living in obedience to Him. So, even when we love our neighbors, we are loving God by so doing, because we are obeying His commandment. So I think it's important to remember that up to this point, the Israelites, they don't know God. You remember when Moses, when God revealed Himself to Moses and asked him to go back to Egypt, Moses asked, who would I say sent me to them? And God said, you should tell them that I am have sent you. They did not know God. This is the generation that was born in Egypt under idolatrous nation that was enslaving them, treating them badly. And the only thing they knew, it was the idols that were worshipped by Egyptians. And to them at that point appeared to be, this nation appeared to be strong. And humanly speaking, when you see that, you tend to think that their gods are more powerful than any other gods by the strength of the Egyptians. So they only knew idols. So they were coming out of the oppressive, idolatry nation of Egypt, and they've been rescued by God. God is taking them to the promised land that He promised to their forefather Abraham. God wants to establish them as His people, as He says it in chapter 19 here in Exodus, that though the whole world is mine, but you are my chosen people. So they needed spiritual rehab, just as we do today. When we get born again, it's not the end. The teaching, the discipleship is geared to rehabilitate us from the habits and the beliefs that we had before we came to know Jesus, so that we do not mix God with our gods. So they needed that rehab, just as we do today, and 10 commandments are tailor-made for that. And they were going to live among the nations that worshipped idols, the Canaanites and all other nations around there. So they need a serious warning not to follow the example of the nation they're going to live among them. Just as we do today, and the Ten Commandments are tailor-made for that. So if you glance right to verse 23, God says this to the Israelites, "You shall not make gods of silver to be with me or rival me." That's what statues do. That's what idols do. They are a rival to God. And that's what God is saying. They do not aid you to worship God. They lead you away from God. And behind those idols, says Paul in 1 Corinthians, there are deceptive demonic spirits that are there to draw you away from the living God so that you can worship the devil. So God says to them, "You shall not make gods of silver to be with me or rival me, nor shall you make for yourself gods of gold." Don't do that, because the nations they were going to live with among, they were doing that, just as the Egyptians where they were from, they were doing it. An idol is a rival to God, not an aid to help you worship God. And in 1 Corinthians 10:14, God says this, "Flee from idol." It's simple, it's a command, flee from idolatry. So in our text, Exodus 20 verse 7, God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." We normally think about this commandment as a commandment about language, what we may say or how we may say what we say about God. Taking up the name of the Lord is more than just saying something. It carries the idea of lifting up or carrying the name of the Lord as his people. We are his people, and that is our identity. And we take our identity wherever we go. We do not change to be God's people after leaving this building. You are a Christian 24/7. There is no break in between. You do not have a private life with which you can do as you please. You are rescued to be God's slave, to save his purposes, and his purposes is life. There is no life outside of that. So we do not have a life that is kind of compartmentalized, you know, this is my religious life and this is my own life. So when I come to church, then I'm doing this religious thing, then I'm going to go out and be free and start living as I please. There is nothing like that. So we carry this identity with us wherever we go. And our God's name is always in God's presence. Our God is everywhere. He is here this morning. And when we mention his name, it is in his presence that we do so. And when God is present, dear friend, we bow down, we worship. That's the experience of all the people through the pages of the Bible who have experienced whether angelic being or divine being. They fell on their faces and worship. That's what you do in the presence of this God. So that's the reason why we should use God's name in reverence all that is due to Him. So to use God's name is always, dear friend, an act of worship, whether in the church just as we are gathering here or outside the church. It's not something that you use when you trip. Oh, Jesus, oh, God. It's not. And part of the reason why we don't get the power that is in the name of Jesus, for example, even when we pray, it's because we play with that name. It means nothing. We mention it even when we do not mean it. And we wonder why. It's like God is not listening. If His name is not honored, He's not going to hear when you pray, because He says He will not hold the one who takes His name in vain guiltless. Whatever that means, it means that God is not happy with that. It means that that is evil when you do that. As a child of God, it means that that is sin when you do that. And what we do with sin, we repent, just as we always do when we come together. It's the right thing before this holy God. You repent because He's so holy that it exposes how sinful you are, even when you think that you've done well, when you come to His presence. So in other words, this third commandment continues with the theme of worship that we have seen as our brother Stuart was leading us with the first two commandments. And this third commandment, dear friend, forces us to ask the question that we normally don't ask ourselves. It forces us to ask four questions that we normally don't ask. And those four questions are my four main points, which I'm going to present to you briefly. You don't have to sweat about time. We will manage. God is in control. Relax. The first main point, first question, so to speak, is what is in the name? We know that the name carries the identity of a person. If you mention my name and you say something that is not right, I will defend it because that's my reputation. That's my name. So what is in the name? At least I just want to bring to your attention two things that are behind the name. Number one is there is a person behind the name. And in our context, in the Bible, in the passage that we're looking at, this verse, that this commandment we're looking at, the person behind the name is God. Is the Lord your God? The word Lord in capital letters, as we know by now, means Jehovah or Yahweh. And the word God here in this commandment, it means Elohim. So this God is a triune God. He's a unique God. He's not like idols. He's three persons in one. That on its own should scare the hell out of your mind. Because there is no being like that. And that's what makes God to be God. You cannot figure Him out. There is no illustration for that. I won't even try it. Because it degrades who He is. He is three in one. That's what Elohim stands for there. He is God. The Lord Jehovah is His name. And He says to Moses in Exodus 3, go and tell them, I am who I am, have sent you. Can you imagine when you ask someone, what's your name? I can't say, I am. Only God can say, I am. I don't need to introduce myself to you. You need to be introduced to me. You need my introduction. I can tell you who I am if I feel that it's going to help anything. But for now, get this, I'm God. Beside me, there is no other. And you cannot compare me with any other gods that you make. And we're really good on making our little gods. Even us as Christians. When you look at the way we behave ourselves, it's because of the God that we have shaped in our mind. It's not the God of the Bible. This God of the Bible will shape you, will conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I begin to live a life that is contrary to the Bible, it's because I have fashioned my own little God that I can control. The God that understand that I've got life to live outside of worshiping him. That's not the God of the Bible. If you worship this God of the Bible, that's your life. And that's life abundantly. That's the best life you can ever get. Outside of that is death. It's just as simple as that, dear friends. So, God's name in this context dwells in himself, one God with all his trinitarian distinction. It's there, I am. I'm Jehovah, Elohim. That's me. And there is no other God like me. And the letters of the name Jehovah, they mean something. The first two letters of J-E, it portray the future tense. It means he will be. And that speaks for his eternity. And Hove is a present tense. It carries the present tense meaning. He that is, he is. And that speaks of his existence. He exists and he will exist in eternity. And the last AH, it's past tense. It means he that was. Even in the beginning, he was there. He's got no origin. And that speaks on his antiquity. He is the Ancient of Days, just as we sang the song. That's our God. And Elohim, as I said, signifies the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so Psalms 8:9 exclaim, figuring the name of the Lord, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Because he's a great God and his name is great. And we are told in history that when scribes were writing the Old Testament, when they came to write Jehovah Elohim, they will wash their hands, change the pen, use the new pen, and throw it away after writing, never to be used again. That's how great the name of God is. That's how it was to them. That's how they honored it. Someone said, what we love, we honor, and we honor what we love. If we love God, we honor God. When the love of God disappears in our heart, we dishonor him the way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk about him. And Deuteronomy 6:4-5, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Again there, the Lord your God, that is Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah is one. That Jehovah, who is in plurality, is one. Then Verse 5 says, you shall then love the Lord your God. You shall love Jehovah Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's what God requires us to do when it comes to Him. As His children that He has rescued, we're not doing this in order to be saved. We're doing this because we are saved people. We acknowledge the great God who has rescued us from the power of darkness into the power of light. And to the Israelites, then God revealed Himself as Jehovah Elohim. I am who I am. But to us today, God has revealed Himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the name that we honor today. And we must never, ever forget the privilege and responsibility that comes with bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. The second thing I want us to see with regard to what is in the name is the comfort of His name. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. Matthew tells us, when the angel was talking with Joseph, that she will bear a son and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And in Acts 4 verse 12, we read this word, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Is only the name of Jesus. Not only that there is salvation in the name of Jesus, but there is also healing in the name of Jesus. I know many of us, they don't believe that there is healing in the name of Jesus. Amen? It has never changed. It will never change. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Just as the apostle experienced that power of healing that is in the name of Jesus, we are also encouraged to pray for one another in that name. And we do so because we believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus, dear friend. In Acts 3, verse 16, a man who was lame from birth was healed by Paul and John as they were coming into this beautiful gate, and he was begging there, and they asked him to look at him, and he looked at him and they said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we're going to give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And we are told that that man was healed, not by Peter, not by John, by the name, because there is authority in the name of Jesus. That's why we need to honor it. That's why we honor that name. And there is security in the name of Jehovah Elohim. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man or woman runs into it and is safe. Your curious mind doesn't help you with your faith. I'm sure some of you are thinking, oh, I've tried that before, it just doesn't work. That's pragmatism. It didn't work maybe because you do not honor that name. I believe, just as I believe I'm saved, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And I will always believe that, because that's what the Bible teaches. And sometimes we shy away from praying for one another, even in our gathering like this, because we have lost faith that there is power in the name of Jesus. May God help us to believe the Bible, dear friend. There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is salvation. There is healing in the name of Jesus, and there is security in that name. And there is, lastly, supplication. It is the name that is given to us through which we can ask anything, and God will do it. Anything in line with what God stands for, and for his kingdom, and for our well-being. John 14, Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Sounds like a good promise for me. I will do it. And the one who says he will do it, he's not like you and I. He does not change his mind. He's faithful to what he has promised. So when I mention the name of Jesus as a child of God, all hell trembles at the sound of that name. And demons are helpless at the sound of the name of Jesus. Some of us need to have a little bit of good experience to come to contact with people who are possessed by demonic spirit. When I was at George Whitfield College, the guys were saying, oh no, the gospel is enough. You know, you just preach the gospel. I said to them, shame, you don't know what you're talking about. You have not been there. The apostles were preaching the gospel. They still had to command the spirit to get out of people's life. I'm sure they were best preachers than any of us. But they still have to pray in that name. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And it is given to the church. For one purpose, for the extension of the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we will be scared to death of demonic powers if we don't believe that. The name of the Lord is our stronghold. We run there, we are safe. There is no devil who can do anything when you hidden under the name of God, of Jehovah Elohim, our God. So let us honor this name. For the Lord will not hold you guiltless if you take his name in vain. The second question that I want to draw to your attention, oh gosh, I'm going to lose my job. Please help me, Lord. I want to bring to your attention is, how do we break this commandment? We break this commandment through hypocrisy. There is nothing that discredits Christianity than claiming to be something and living contrary to that. Hypocrisy, when we honor God with our lips or claim his name but acting in a way that disgraces him. We break the commandment because we bear the name. That's our identity. We carry our identity wherever we go. And whatever we say is under the banner of the name of God who have rescued us. And number two, we break this commandment by failing to perform our vows. When we swear by God's name and fail to perform our vows, we are guilty of using the name of Jehovah Elohim in vain. Leviticus 19 verse 12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am Jehovah. Don't do that with me. My name is not for playing. Think of the court vows, parliamentarian vows of politicians, or marriage vows. Court vows and parliamentarian, these people, they just say it because it's on the script. They don't mean it. They don't love God's laws. They despise his name. If you're listening to me, listen up. If you are a politician, listen up. This name is not for playing. It's God's name. And he says he will not hold any person guiltless who uses his name in vain. They do all of those things that they would be faithful to the people of the country where they know they're brought in to go and squander and steal everything. We play with marriage vows. Even as Christians, we exchange these vows and we seal them by the giving of and receiving of rings. And we say words like this: with this ring, I take you in marriage. With my body, I will honor you. And all that I have, I will share with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And tomorrow we go in our separate ways. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Whoever caused that separation, he needed to make peace with that fact that you causing your spouse to take the name of the Lord in vain by not being faithful. So we take the name of the Lord in vain when we do not treat the sacred things of God with honor that is due to his name. When we do not treat the church with honor and respect that is due to God. And we demonstrate that with our flippery, labor kind of attendance to the church as if we're doing God a service by coming to church. It is a privilege for you and I to worship this God. It is a privilege for you and I to be named by his name. It is a privilege to be able to gather like this around his word and hear him speaking to us as his family. We are not doing God a favor. We've been given a privilege that we should hold it dearly. And take it seriously, dear friends. I was thinking that we're going to learn something when we were shut in our houses during COVID. Desperate to come together. I wonder how many people who are able to come to church who have settled for online service. While God said, do not neglect coming together. Do you hear me? The command is to come together. You cannot substitute that with an online service. We thank God for the online service for the people who are unable to come to church. And God knows that. And that God brought this tool to serve that purpose for the people who are not able to come together. But if you're sitting at home for your convenience, ask yourself, do you still take God's name seriously? Do you? You're going to have to hear it from me. It's a tough talk. I'm talking to myself. I'm subjected to the word of God just as you are. We need to ask ourselves those questions. Are we playing games or are we still taking God seriously? I've seen people who come here, you look at them, you say to yourself, it would be better if you're at home, but they come because they are driven by that. I'm going together with the people of God. I do not want to neglect that privilege. And they come. They come. Dragging their feet because they are unable. But they are able people who just lying on their beds for comfort. You're not going to hear it from anybody else. You will hear it from me as your pastor if you worship in this church or whichever church you go to. Get up and start taking God seriously. Honor his name. gather with his people. Do not neglect the privilege you've been given. So we take his name in vain when we take his things, secret things, not seriously. We do not give respect and honor that is due to him when we don't even pay our mind, give our mind some thought when we give tithing and offering to God. Listen to what God says to Leviticus in Leviticus 22 verse 2. He says, God spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons so that they abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. May God help us, dear friend. I'm sure you know it by now. I'm not afraid to talk about money. I give like you do. I pay tithes like you do. Because I'm a Christian, you are a Christian, and God has claimed tithes as his money, and that money is not to pay good enough for steward. You don't pay our salary. God does pay our salary. We all give to the house of the Lord, and those whom God has appointed to manage those funds, they pay a salary for the service that we do, and we are grateful to God. But let's be serious with God, dear friends. Let's honor him with our attendance to church, to Bible study, to giving, things that we don't want to talk about it. He wants to be honored there. That's why he says to Moses, warn Aaron not to tamper with that. Okay? The third question, how did Christ keep this commandment? Christ honored God completely, perfectly. Dear friend, he was obedient to God to the highest extent. And his obedience is best captured for us by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, where Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the highest point of his obedience. He obeyed God perfectly, and he did it for you and I. So when you fail, God does not love you less because Christ has already done the work for you. He loves you the same. So we don't get condemned by our failings. Christ did the perfect job for you. You fail to honor God's name, repent and ask God to help you. Christ has already done that work. But you are called to follow in his steps. He is our representative. Unlike the first Adam, he perfectly obeyed God on our behalf, and we thank God for that. The fourth and final question, how do we keep this commandment? Well, we follow Jesus. Jesus obeyed God to the point of death, and because of that, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, and he commands every person so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the name we are commanded to bow to, is the name of Jesus. If you haven't bowed in the name of Jesus, you are taking his name in vain. The reason why he's exalted and given a name that is above every name is so that every creature bow the knee, confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, dear friend, we are commanded to bow to Jesus. And Jesus himself commanded us that in John 5, verse 22 to 23, Jesus says, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." You want to honor God? Honor Jesus. If you don't honor Jesus, you don't honor God. In closing, dear friend, the misuse of the Lord's name is more than profanity or treating the name without reverence. The misuse includes the profane lifestyle, lifestyle that is not set aside for God. If I conduct myself in a manner that is contrary to his word, claiming to be his child, I'm taking his name in vain. Whatever that is, you know that the Bible condemns the lifestyle you live in, and you're claiming to be a Christian, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. And Jesus will not hold you guiltless. Those words came from Jehovah Elohim, the triune God. Honor. I must honor the name of the Lord. Let's bow our head. I don't know where you stand with the Lord, with your relationship with Jesus, but it's the time to come to him. And you can call on him right now and ask him to forgive you, to save you. And if you are a Christian and you've been taking his name in vain in some areas of your life, it's time to turn to him, to come to Jesus. He is your Savior. He shed his precious blood that takes away not only the sin, but it washes away the stain of sin in our lives. Ask him to forgive you and repent of that, dear friend, while you have breath in your lungs. Father God, we thank you for your word. We all plead guilty, one way or the other, on taking your name in vain. We have failed you, Father. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to help us, to strengthen us by the power of your Spirit, to live in obedience in a manner that honors your great name. I pray that you will do that for each and every one of us here this morning and those watching us online, Lord, so that you might be magnified and glorified among us as your people. I pray this in the strong name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and I thank you for it, Lord God. Amen.